We are up to Pasuk of, thank you very much for the coffee, Mr. Kohler, thank you very much. Pasuk Ches. Okay, today we start a new section, Pasuk Ches, page 878. I'm on page 878 in the Sefer Malachi, Parak Beis, Pasuk Ches. These words are not as familiar because this is not from the Haftarah, this is a new section. The Atem, Saratem, and Aderach, you have gone astray from the Derech. You know, we spent time on this yesterday in Chumash in the afternoon, the word Sartem, so that there in this week's parasha it says the word Saru multiple times. And Saru, this Hasara slave, and then there's just ordinary Saru, the word Saru min ha-mitzvahs. And the Targum, interestingly, translates the word differently in both places. When it says Saru min ha-leiv, the Hasaras Halev, Targum translated as a toos, a mistake, an error. When it says the word sar without the word lev, it says to go astray. What's worse? Is it worse to go astray, or is it worse to have Hasaras Halev? I would see that Hasaras Halev is not so bad. It's a mistake. He did not make a mistake. The person is a good person. Everything is fine and good. Just in one particular area, the individual made a mistake. When it says that the person went astray, that has a connotation that the entire person, everything about the person is gone. It's not just a mistake. It's the whole person is off as no. And Lachol, what do you say?
You could argue the opposite.
You could argue the opposite.
Excuse me. Like what when you went on a your heart was in it.
No, but it says a mistake. It seems that you made a mistake. Don't have too many wives, because the wives are going to soru. I don't remember the exact words. Sorus libo. They're going to cause the king.
It means to lead you astray.
No, but that's not what the Targum says.
That's what we say.
The Targum says the word toos. Toos. When it says to go astray in general, it says here the word. Look at the Targum here on this pasuk. It says. Sitesun, hasata. Hasata means to go astray. A tohus does not mean to go astray. It means to make an error. There's a fundamental difference between making an error and going astray. Anyway, it's over here. V'atem yusartem in aderech, you have gone astray. Hich shaltem rabim batari. We are lodging a complaint against. We are lodging a complaint against the kohanim. You have caused many to stumble in Torah. Shichatem bris halevi. You have corrupted. Corruptly, you have destroyed the covenant of the Levi. Omer Hashem Tzavach. It's pasuk tes v'gamani nosati eschem
and
nivzim.
Well, what's that? What's the trend of that pasuk again?
It's a continuation of the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk was a Kohen's job.
You made an error in Hadera. Exalted, Rabin,
you have caused others, the Tzibur, to stumble.
Because so whether you're giving them
sock, then
it's wrong.
Correct. You're correct. Your leadership. You're instilling in the people values that are harmful. Instead of telling people that you should learn, spend time learning Torah, you're telling them you should go to the movies.
Is this directly against the Kehanim?
Yes.
However, just a pasuk or two before, we're talking about the positive traits.
We tell what their power should be. We're telling the previous sigma are telling us what they should be.
But
you have failed. What the Kohanim should be doing, they should be doing things that are positive. But instead, they have led the people astray, and they have taught them values that are corrupt, that are disgraceful, that are damaging to the makeup of Klal Yisrael. They should be teaching them values that are correct. This is what they should be doing. And instead, what have you done instead? You've gone astray. You have corrupted the covenant of the Levi. What covenant? Going back to Pinchas? I guess so. Pinchas, Brisi Shalom. We had in Mayevsky mentioned, we have a pasuk in Chumash Devarim, which is also the word bris by Kuna. I remember there was once a person, I'm not going to tell you who he is, and he was running a certain group of people that was, you know, definitely more modern, and he was raising money, and he took a donor, a potential donor who wasn't really obviously very religious, and he was trying to get from him a lot of money, and he wanted to show that in this place we're not like the Haredim who value learning. We're cultured people here. Here we're cultured people, and you know, we enjoy the arts, the politics. We go to the beach. And we're the best in learning. Also, don't kid yourself. We're the best of the best. And he just grabbed the student. Supposedly, this is a true story. He grabbed the student, and he said, "Tell me." And he presented him to this donor, this potential donor. "Tell me, what do you do with your free time? When you have free time, what do you do?" And this person was a fundraiser. He was expecting this boy to say, "I go to the movies. I go with my girlfriend. We go out and have a good time." And that would be very impressive to the donor, who was, you know, a member of modern world, and would be give a lot of money. And this boy said, "I go to the Beis Medrash." And he was really, really disturbed. And he had a very disturbing, "You idiot. You just lost $1 million. Our donor is now not going to give."
You picked the wrong boy.
You picked the wrong boy, exactly. You picked the wrong boy. So, see, that's the problem. When you create an environment where the values are that in your free time you should go to the movies, you're in a lot of trouble. Yatem sait mederach, hichshaltem rabim b'Torah. You've caused many to stumble in Torah. You have instilled values that are not correct. And therefore, many have taken your lead. A leader leads by example. And if his example is not correct, then people, they look up to him and they stumble. Shichatem b'ris ha-Levi, you have corrupted the covenant of the Levi, which I guess means the Levi here refers to Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi, they are the Kehanim, the Levim, who serve in the Beis HaMikdash. They, as we learned in the beginning of this parak, they have developed an attitude of contempt towards the Beis HaMikdash. They only want to bring into the Beis HaMikdash korbanos that are defective. Amar Hashem Tzvakas. So Hashem now Pasuk Tes says, "So I'm going to punish you. It's going to be midah keneged midah. The end is going to be you're going to suffer. V'yahad gam ani nasati eschem nivzin u'shefalim l'chol ha'am." You know what? That's what you want to go do to my people. Midah keneged midah. I'm going to do it to you. You, the Kohanim, the Levim, you're going to be despicable. You're going to be bazui, nivzem, despised, and viewed to be low esteem l'chol ha'am amongst all of the people. According to that, this which you fail to guard my ways, this is an expression of the Gemara. This is an expression of the Gemara, which means that you invent panim, you lift up panim batara. It's a very hard expression to translate. Maybe we should really leave for the Mefarshim to precisely translate this word. But this is using the Gemara to mean that a person you create. False interpretations. Deliberately. You take a pasuk in the Chumash and you send, you give a false interpretation which leads people, which creates a whole new hashkafa that is sheker v'chazav. Okay, let's learn over here these psukim. We're going to go over here now. Two psukim, right? Two psukim. Let's just do these two psukim together. Pasuk ches in the mitzvah stuff. I'm sure we'll do the whole thing today. Pasuk ches back on page. Back to page 879. You've gone astray from the correct path. On the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas David. Page 879 on the very bottom. Mitzudas David. Pasuk ches. The correct path. The derech that is mentioned and is fitting for the kohanim, hichshaltem, you've caused to stumble. Loydai shaloi hashivay semei avayin ela shoyd hichshaltem rabim midini atayra. Not only have you not made it, you've not corrected their mistakes, you've set them down, you've made it even worse. It's like a politician. You're a bunch of politicians. You've been elected to improve the lives of the members of society. Not only have you not improved their lives, you've made their lives even worse. Right? Isn't this a classic politician? So this is what we're complaining about. Next thing will be Hachshaltem, shichatem bris alevi, you have corrupted the covenant of the Levi. Masha karati brisi bris im aron roish hashevet alevi l'shaveis b'shmi ulechabeni. This that I have forged a covenant with Aaron, the head of the tribe, to minister in my name and to give honor to me. He nay, behold, atem shichatem uso, you have corrupted him. Ki bezisem uso. We hear the mitzvah says something very interesting. He directs this pasuk specifically against Aaron. You have brought shame and disgrace to Aaron, the leader, the head, the originator of where you all come from. Your behavior.
What Aaron stood for.
That's how he learns. He learns it him. We focus on specifically. As I tell you, people in this country, so when we grew up, they taught us that who the heroes, George Washington, and all the founding fathers. And all the founding fathers of the country, and they teach you in elementary school, you know, they tell you, you live in America, you have freedom, b'chulu, b'chulu. Today, they teach in elementary school that these people were criminals. They were criminals, they were slave owners, they were racist, they were white supremacists. The only kavana was to control and dominate, and it's unbelievable. So when you see going on in front of our eyes in America, how the people over here are literally trying to rewrite history, is what the pasuk is saying here, giving us musa, that we unfortunately did the same thing. What goes around comes around. We have Aaron HaKohen, Malach Hashem Tzevachos, he Oyev Shalom, Roydev Shalom, and now we have a bunch of corrupt Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash. They've taken the legacy of Aaron, and they have corrupted. That's what it says. Pasuk Ches. Yatem, you the Kohanim today in the Beis HaMikdash. He's speaking of here to the Kohanim in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Sheni, that's what Malachi is speaking to. Sartem in Haderech. You've gone off the Derech. Chechshaltem Rabim BaTorah. Your attitude towards the Torah is disgusting, and your influence is powerful because you are in a position of leadership, and you've set a tone that other people should abandon the Torah. Shichatem Bris HaLevi. And you have corrupted, destroyed this that I have forged. The way Mitzvah Stavad understands this, that I have selected Aaron and I have lifted him up on a pedestal to say, Aaron Shalachod Gedola Mishalahem, there is no one like Aaron HaKohen. You have rewritten history. You've said about Aaron that he's a criminal. Yeah.
It seems that his brother is going actually to be the Kohen, just like Rashi and Chumash, just like Tash and Chiyu, the Yoga, a Levi,
the Levi means the Kohen, right? That's Pashut.
Yeah.
Levi means shaved Levi. Doesn't mean Meir Apple. Meir Apple was a Levi. We're referring over here to the Kohanim, primarily the Kohanim, HaKohanim HaLeviim, HaKohanim, which come from a shaved Levi. More often than not, when it says Levi, it refers to the Kohanim. So here indeed exactly, it says the Shechat and Bris HaLevi, the Mitzvah stuff is the Levi refers to Aaron. Aaron, who is the head of the tribe. Now the Sheva Levi was broken down into different segments, including the Levim. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Bidei Hashem.
Amen.
Mr. Cohen, thank you very much. Okay, so here this is...
Exactly.
Everything that happens in this world, Chazal tell us that that everything that happens in this world is a Klal Yisrael. Everything that happens in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to his Amma. It sounds like we're very egocentric. So we are. Who cares? That's the way it is. Atov v'charetonu mikol v'amim v'hafto v'simu v'tzitzu v'amim. Everything that happens, it's hard to appreciate that idea, but everything that happens in this world, Hashem is sending a message, is speaking to Klal Yisrael, speaking to us. And if we see in this world things that are going, you'll say, what difference does it make? We, the Baruch Hashem, Chas de Hashem, we do not send our children to public school. We don't, we keep a significant distance between what's going on in this country, in secular culture. I mean, not everyone.
Just wait.
Not everyone.
Just wait.
But
they're coming for us too.
They sure are. But in the meantime, until they actually knock on our door, until that happens, which, as we say, every day is getting closer and closer, unfortunately. So we have a tendency to say, leave me alone, don't bother me, it doesn't affect me, it's not with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. What happens in the world is just a reflection of what of problems that are amongst us. And if in the world now there is a movement to redefine reality, and Chazal tell us everything that happens in the world is a message for Klal Yisrael, we have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, are we guilty of the same thing? Are we guilty of redefining our own reality? Are we guilty of living a life of yadus that is not true to our traditions? are we creating for ourselves, certain values that lo chayiv l'niver? I'm not making it up. This is what I'll say. Whatever happens in the world, Hashem is speaking to us. If in the world we can clearly see things that are connected our values in the parallel form, maybe it's a wake-up call for us to analyze deficiencies that we know are true and have never been addressed and are just getting worse and worse in our own little teeny world. Our own little world is a very important world because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great hope and faith that from the purity of the truth of Klal Yisrael will come, the world will achieve its goal. Here, it's an incredible thing what it says about what the Musar has to, if you translate this into in the world of politics and put these words in the mouths of the conservatives, it's mamish exactly what Hashem is saying. What?
What do you mean conservative? You mean conservative Jews?
Not conservative Jews, conservative politics.
Oh, okay.
Because over here there's a complaint that basically you have deviated so far from your ancestor, from the values that have been given to Aaron, you are shichat. These are very, very painful words. Shichatem bris halevi. When I read the word, it was translated, I thought it meant that you're not true to the tribe, to the kahuna.
Okay.
And the Mitzvah stuff, it says, no, you're not true to the founding father of all of your values, your hashkafa,
right.
To Aaron HaKohen. You basically, in your eyes, Aaron HaKohen should be locked up, put in a solitary confinement, if not worse. Because he created a life for you that you despise, and Hashem says pasuk tes v'gam ani b'tzur lemar gam ani ashke sabris. Fine, if that's how you want to behave, so you know what? Don't forget, it's a two-way street. Don't forget all of the blessing that you have. Don't forget the blessing that you have. So there's a parallel. According to the Mitzvahs, this would almost sound like what a Malbim would say. He's over here talking like a Malbim. But I will neither connect neither. It said before there's going to be a blessing of Chayin and Shalai. Zelumazer. I'm going to make you Nivzin Ushfalin. Nivzin Ushfalin is the corresponding. Idea connected chayim hashalom ki chayim habizayim la'adam nichbad lo yikorei chayim, a life of bizayimus what's the group of bizayimus? Good translation. Disgrace. A life of disgrace is the opposite to an adam nichbad, for a distinguished person is not worth living. Once
didn't
a person
the chayim say he welcomes and misses bizayimus when he got old?
What did he say?
He said he misses the bizyonos.
Okay, that has to be taken in a different context. That means that no one, people they were so afraid of him. No one wanted to say boo to him. Okay, that has to be taken in a different context. Just talking about that in society, if a person is a dignified person, and society crumbles, and he's out on the street, he's a homeless person, and he's a panhandler. Just to put some, to have some more to eat, and years ago this person was a big rabbi, and everyone came to bow down to him, and he was a distinguished person, everyone respect. I mean that you can lose your mind. a person that's nichbad, the kohanim were originally honorable people. They walked in the Beis HaMikdash. When they walked into the room, people stood up. They had respect. Now Hashem says, I'm going to punish you. You're going to become despised people. You're going to become, no one's going to have any respect for you. You're going to be homeless. You're going to walk the streets. Such a life, you go, mikotzla kotze, is a very painful experience. It's not worth living. A person has no shalom b'nafsho. It's very, very true. I know a person that lived in a different country. We live in a different country, and that country is a very successful person. He's a very distinguished person. That where he came from, their values are very, very different than here in America. Came to America, and it's a different ball game here. People didn't give him the respect. They did not give him the respect that he was accustomed to. Everything about the culture here was very different than what he was accustomed to. And he had a miserable time. He had a very, very miserable experience here in this country because it's not the way they did things back at home where he was used to.
Rick Miller, does that sound used to describe pre-war Germany, Europe? He said, basically, the culture there was all the rabbis were ridiculed, the Zion. And it was ridiculed like all the newspapers. There was only one, the Tugablat of one particular. All the newspapers used to ridicule the rabbis all the time, maybe Shalom Aleichem stories. They would do ridicule and make jokes about the rabbis, you know. They were foolish, silly. Making stupid.
Nothing has changed.
That was
the culture
over there. You know,
an insider, from the New York. An insider from the New York Times revealed that they have a policy in the New York Times that they want to have at least one article every single week about the Orthodox Jewish community. It sells papers. It sells papers.
The Jews themselves, they
were ridiculed. The New York Times also.
Okay. Not respected amongst the people.
Ein chodesh tzach, ein chodesh tachat hashemesh. Nothing has changed. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Okay, let's go further. We go a pasuk kifi. Now,
I'm on
page 881. Okay, we're now on page 881. 881 on the Mitzudas in the Mitzudas David, okay, in the Mitzudas David, kifi kishiur helvoin mida kineged mida. Your punishment will correspond to the measure of your sin. Asher eichem kashiur hazeh yeluchem b'zayim b'shichlus. Then now here comes the next powerful words. V'noy simpanim b'torah, v'noy simpanim le'ashirei ha'am. He learns that Mitzvah stuff Noisim Panim Vatara means favoritism. You kiss up to the rich and famous. Anyone that has money is the Gadol Hadar. So Shivas Noisim Panim Lashiri Ha'am Lahachanifam to flatter them. B'mishpateh HaTorah U'matim Adin. They have different standards. Nothing has changed. Anyone that's rich, anyone that has money today is automatically a celebrity and is not judged. There's no scrutiny. There's no scrutiny in things that he does. People do the most outrageous things. If you're rich, like you get away. Can you imagine if a guy today would go and make a million in his house? Make a million in his house here in Little Flatbush. Let's say someone today would go, you have all your shuls. No, none of the shuls are good enough for me. I am surrounded by 10 shuls. None of them are good enough for me. So you know what? I'm going to make a million in my basement. I'm going to make a meeting in my basement, and I'm going to invite all my neighbors. It would, without a question, without a doubt, it would be viewed as an act of rebellion to the community. It's a free world. You can do whatever you want. No one's stopping you 100% mother. And there's no date. Do whatever you want. But in the eyes of the average person, you would say, what are you doing? The shul's not good enough. There's a shul here, there's a shul there. These are shuls. These are established shuls. Been around for 50 years. It's not good enough for you. You have to go to this shul, this shul. You have to make your own little minion with your own 15, 20 people in your basement so you can daven very fast and you can do whatever you want. It would be considered, people would go there. I would probably end up going there also myself. But it's like, who are you fooling?
During during this COVID.
They're not COVID. I'm talking about before COVID.
No, but especially during this COVID period, a number of rabbis have been worried about this situation, whether people will ever
come back
to their
work. Okay, that's a different issue. That's a different thing. There's no question that
I'm too accustomed.
Right. Okay. But I'm talking about before COVID. Before COVID, everyone would have heard of COVID. It would be viewed to be, in the eyes of I think many, a chutzpah. It's like, well, you're making a minion in the basement. There are not enough shuls here. You have to make your own minion. You say, what do you mean? It's America. It's a food. That's right. Whatever you want. No one's going to say booty, but
actually, there are empty shuls in the neighborhood.
Because no one wants to come there. Right. Okay. So. But I guarantee you, and that was the fact. But let's say the person is a multi-millionaire, and he makes the minion in his basement. No, that's not called an act of rebellion. That's not a chutzpah. He's a gavir. I saw my own eyes. It's a good. What a zuchus to daven in the sea. Really, what's there? There's nothing there. Nothing. It's just I want to do things myself. This is exactly what it says. Exactly. The noisin panim batayim. So you'll say I don't like. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. No one's stopping you. You live in a free country. But like the standards of how you be. I once told someone really nasty one. I said like if a millionaire, if a regular person would walk in the street naked, would walk naked in the street, a regular guy, they'd call the police. Obscene, disgusting. You walk in the street naked, sugar mug. They'll call the mental. If a millionaire, a multi-millionaire walk in the street naked, you know what I'm saying? Wow, what a beautiful body. Yes, they would. And this is, it's so posh. It is so posh. Yes. I once saw a letter written by like a fundraising letter, whatever. It was written by a mega millionaire. I read the letter. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was childish. I thought it was outright condescending. It really bothered me what it said. And I heard from many people who read this letter, wow, they never their whole life read such a letter. They submitted for Pulitzer Prize, right? Never saw such a letter. What are you talking about? What's the answer? The answer is these people, they worship. They worship him because he is Kesef Yanes Anko. That you don't realize how powerful you see more and more. The older you get, the more you see. It's a koyach Hashem from this world, and it's very, very sad. This is exactly what the Mitzvah Slavit translates the words Vimaisim Panim Ba Torah. You can create a whole new Torah. All you need is enough money. With enough money, you can buy anything. You can even buy the famous Vard. You can even buy a Soinei Betzah for enough money. Even a Soinei Betzah. You never heard that before?
No.
You can buy a Soinei, you need a Dayan with a Soinei Betzah for enough money, a Soinei Betzah, you can get it also. I'm not making this up, I'm not saying this. This is what it says in the Mitzvah. This is nice in Panim HaTorah. Nice in Panim, they lift up their face. La'ashirei ha'am, to the rich and famous. La'achanifam, to flatter them. B'mishpatei ha'Torah, the laws of the Torah, matim ha'din, they have different standards. They have different, the rich have different standards, matim ha'din, and the din, the law, and the standards always tilted for them differently. I'm no different. I'm the most vulnerable person. I'm the first guy. If I was in the position of power, and there was a rich guy in front of me, I'm the first guy to be bribed. But Baruch Hashem, in this room, at this moment in time, I'm not subject. At this slice of time, I can just say what the MS is. I'm no different. I would be in power. I would be bribed.
Personally, he could be brought influenced in his favor, not personal gain.
Sure.
But that's a. The shul, you can have the shul wants to do this, and
we can't do that.
Everyone's against it except this guy with the money. So you
exactly, that's
see,
the whole life.
See, there's double standards every day.
That's life. I told you, I'm no different. But at least at this moment, we're sitting over here, and we're not surrounded by rich people that I know of. Mayor, you have some billions of dollars stashed away somewhere.
What's in your wallet?
So,
against the bond, but it's always against the bond.
Against the bond is most people. Many people against the bond is a bizarreness, and they know it also. And it's like they take one for the team. Depends which organization. It's not so common to have a guest of honor that really thinks he's getting honor. Most of the guests of honor today. They give it to the money man. Well, right, correct. They give the money man. Whatever. It's a whole whatever. Every story is different.
People who do a lot of good things.
Absolutely.
You can't just.
100%. 100%.
And what's wrong with giving them cover?
Rebbe Mechabed Ashirin. It says the Farish and the Gemara Rebbe.
Right.
Of course, the world cannot survive without Ashir. There's no question whatsoever. Go in. That's the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is Rebbe. You need money. I'm not going to listen to that. Rebbe Mechabed Ashirin, 100%. And everything is in mixed there. You can't. There are people that do incredible, incredible things, but there's also, elements of...
So therefore, respect for a wealthy person is when it's earned.
Yes.
Period.
Even when it's not earned.
No, but I mean proper respect for when
there's a hashkafa that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this person wealth, that is a statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees in him qualities that are very special. A person, there's no different person than those who are married. The Holocaust survivor. Everyone was killed. How come he survived? There were 1,000 people together with him. He's the only one in 1,000 that came out. Obviously, Hashem has a purpose for him. You have to say that in some hashkafa. If a person, everyone is poor, or everyone just struggles to survive, and there's one person, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, has given him super, super wealth, obviously there's a reason. And you have to stay in respect and awe from that person. There's no question about it. But with that package comes danger. There's certainly danger. Many wealthy people, it's interesting. I've seen this by some, I'm not involved with these type of people, but I've seen this here and there. Their names are on buildings. Their names are all over the place. If you go to them, not me, but let's say an organization, we need a few $1,000 to get by. They won't give. They won't give a penny. They won't give. But they gave an incredible amount of money for a certain organization. That's because they had the idea. They one day sitting around, what can I do? What can I do for clouds? What can I do for clouds? I have an idea. There's a need that's not being addressed in clouds show. As soon as my own eyes want for the person, is need, it's not being addressed. We have to do something for Klal Yisrael. You know what? Let's name this organization here. $1 million to go address this problem in Klal Yisrael. 5 minutes later, a guy comes in for an established organization, a yeshiva, an institution. We give a donation. We're really struggling for very important things. For chinuch habanim, for a mikvah, for poor people who are to Pesach, I don't do this. You just give $1 million to start. Why? Because it's mine. It's like people who work in a business. You're in a business. You're in a sweatshop, and you work long hours, and you make a measly salary, and you have a boss who insults you and treats you like garbage, and you have coworkers. So what do? You quit and you start your own business. You start your business, you work day and night, and you no complaints because it's yours. You love it, you appreciate it. This is my creation. There's an incredible satisfaction. So tell me, is that type of usher someone that, forget about what Rebbe did, that you respect as a personally? It's hard to say. It's very nice. Hashem gave him super wealth, and he wants to do something he's sincere. He wants to do something for Klal Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael, and he has an idea, and he throws at it crazy, crazy, crazy money. But for everything else in Klal Yisrael, people who are really suffering, it's not proportional. You don't have to give anything. No one's asking you to give a penny. You want to keep all the money for yourself? It's your money, you work for it, it's your money, Hashem gave you, you don't have to do anything. But you want the respect of, look, Hashem gave me this super wealth, and look how great I am. I give and I give to Klal Yisrael, and therefore, he's deserving of respect. But it's disproportionate how little he'll give, how little he wants to give to basic things that people, that the other people give.
I think the honor giving is that people, for whatever reason, have a certain connection with a certain mitzvah.
Correct.
A certain thing. Some people like to give to Eretz Israel.
Right,
like
100%.
People who give to hospitals, let's say it the way it is.
Right,
know?
Right.
Everybody benefits from these hospitals.
100%, 100%, but it's disproportionate, the attitude. I've seen this by saying it's disproportionate. They're very happy to accept recognition for being a wonderful person, of giving away their wealth for clouds. But yet, only for things that are their creation.
Maybe it's because his mind is tuned on to that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Only for their creation. And they're very happy to receive the recognition and respect. Look what I've done for clouds. And of course, you want to go give $1 million, but you won't even want to give $5 for Tomcha Shabbos? I don't hold on that. I don't hold that. I don't do mikvahs. I don't give to yeshivas. I give to this. Ah, my name is, I help Jews in South America who are suffering.
I think that's an exception. Most of these.
It's not an exception. I'm sorry to tell you.
You're looking at it wrong.
It's not an exception.
If someone is giving nicer, the Torah says you give it to the lady that you want.
Right.
So that is the halacha is.
Of course.
That you don't have to give it to the best or to whichever needs.
100%. You don't do anything.
You shouldn't even expect to be rewarded.
I'm talking about what I see. You don't have to do nothing. A person has money, you don't have to give any stuff. You give the bare minimum. No, I'm talking about people who give, and not only do they give, they're very happy to accept the recognition as, look how good I am, in a subtle way. I give, I'm generous, I give, I'm very, very kind. And they're very, very kind to their creation. And it's just disproportionate. It's disproportionate in how unwilling they are to give to anything else. But yet they want to be acknowledged as the biggest givers. All right, I have examples that I can prove to you that this is very common. And it's
if someone gives $5 million to Tarbi Yira, does that mean that he'll give to every other yeshiva that
comes? Of course not. Right. But when someone comes to him and begs him, please give us $18. For chinuch atzmai, I don't hold of them. The bunch of rishon,
right.
I don't give to
the
hat.
The
local mikveh.
Need food? We'll give them no problem.
No, you won't. The local mikveh needs a donation. Maybe give $180. Nah. You gave Torah v'yira $1 million. You don't have to give Torah v'yira $1 million either. And I'm very proud of that. And I walk around with. I walk around the world, you know who this person is? He's the one who gave $1 million. Because you enjoy the fact that you are generous. But to these little guys, we're not asking you to give $1 million to the local mikvah. We just like everyone else in the neighborhood. Everyone else in the neighborhood, they send them $18. How come you didn't send them $18? How come you didn't send them $1 million? Eh, because you're from the category of people who really would give nothing. And just this Mishigas helped you to go and give. I'm telling you, I see this. I'm telling you, there's something wrong. This is called, and people do not, they look up to these people because these are successful people, and
so
here.
They give money because they want to be recognized?
Yes.
They give money because it's the proper thing to do?
No, they give money because they're good people. They're good people, but money is a very dangerous thing. Once a person has money, they're not subject to criticism. A person who is a super wealthy person becomes automatically a different person. It changes you totally. and you're not, no one can criticize you, can say the wrong thing to you. And I told you, a person would make a shul in his basement, in this neighborhood, in, and people would just come there, everyone would say about them, it's a chutzpah. You're part of a shul. The shul, every shul here is struggling to survive. Another shul. The shuls that you go to, the rabbanim that you have over here, they're no good. You have to go sit and make your own basement. The people would immediately go, and in their minds at least, it's a free world, but in their minds they would say, what a chutzpah. All of you are members of another shul. All of you have friends there in your shul and have a rabbi. And by you now deciding to daven here every Shabbos in this basement, it's a statement to your rabbi and to your chaverim in your community that you're just not good enough for us. You're just boring. You're just not good enough for us. We don't want to have anything with you. That is the way an average person would think. But if the person who made this meeting in his basement was a mega millionaire, no one would say that. They would say what a zechus it is to daven with him. I'm telling you, it's a fact. I give you an example. This is the way it is. I read a letter. It's objectively a nasty letter. A letter, a low-class letter. It really is. But because the people around him worship him for his money, it's, mom, you get a Nobel Prize for writing this letter. That's how it is. It's a sad reality. Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. It's a necessary evil in this world. Because if not for these people, we would all starve to death. The end of the day, these people, they come through for us. That's the truth. The end of the day, when the world is going down the drain, these people, they do come through. They do come through for us. But in the meantime, there's a certain distance that they're not subject to criticism. If Hashem gave these people the money, obviously these people, they saved the world. They do. The bottom of the day is everything somehow trickles down, all the chesed trickles down, and we have incredible organizations that do incredible work. For Klal Yisrael, everyone is in it. Everyone, look at Solar. Yesterday they had this Maisi, right? They had this Maisi yesterday with the Shah. So it's only because of an incredible amount of investment in probably over the years, hundreds of millions of dollars invested in Hatzalah, and which by extension trickles down to Chaverim, and by extension trickles down to these other organizations, that there's a network, there's a whole network. So here, over here, there's an emergency. Bang! They solve the emergency in 1 second. Who gets the credit for this? The multi-millionaires who gave enormous amounts of money to these organizations all these years, who created such an institution where you're able in a moment's notice to solve problems. So who am I to say? You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's actually the volunteers that found the kids.
It's the volunteers, but the volunteers are part of the network. It's the volunteers who found the kids, but the volunteers are all with the walkie-talkies. Every volunteer, all the machas, are all members of Hatzolah, Chaverim, this organization. No, but the organization, you can't go just go. This is a whole institution of machas, of askanim, who are able to pull this off. How did this all come about? Because there are people who had an idea, there should be Chaverim. The people had an idea. What?
One guy.
And one guy, someone funded it, and one guy.
So
the end of the day is that these type of things, indeed, in the big picture of things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He made these institutions, and eventually it trickles down to everyone the benefit. But B'shas Maisa, we have a problem. When you go look at on a smaller scale, V'noisim Panim Batorah. The people are not subject, that when you deal with them personally, they're subject to a different set of laws. I just guess I'm telling you from bad experience I had with some people. Turn me the wrong way. Maybe I'm, hopefully I'm the exception. But it says over here, when it comes, noisim panim la'ashirei ha'am la'achanifam b'mishpitei ha'atayru u'matim hadim. They have a different set of rules. Let's enough of this nonsense I'm saying. What?
You know, let's give credit to two very important people.
Yeah.
One is Shlomo Zaka and Moshe Shalom, who actually gave the ambulances everything in the beginning.
Okay.
Because he was running around. And number two is to Shlomo Yisinger, in the World Jewish Congress, who got the Holocaust funds, gave them
Okay, it's no klenikait. It's no klenikait. But you know, it's also, is how did this thing happen to begin with? That has also to be discussed. How did this happen to begin with? Where is the accountability of how could something like this happen to begin with? Okay, so
this is like standard operating procedure. You count over kids on the bus to make sure.
Exactly, right? So you know, so everything is a double-edged sword. Wouldn't it be better an investment in Klal Yisrael to have a good chinuch system where people are responsible, people are trained to be responsible for what they're supposed to do, right? You go to a school and you're disciplined every single day. You have tests and you have to come on time and they teach you. You're a different type of person. So when you become a counselor or you become in a position of leadership and you take kids on a trip, you automatically a responsible person to
maybe
know what's going on.
Right away,
okay? To know. It doesn't sound so good.
About 10, 15 minutes story, I can tell you a whole story about a certain kid that was lost that I was very involved with, and I was very disappointed in the organization.
Exactly.
I was shocked.
Okay, so we're all very big in praising the response, but you know, what about creating a society that is disciplined, that is educated and disciplined and not climbing the walls in their education, where you learn about responsibility in life? And then something like this, you know, something like this shouldn't happen every other day. You hear these type of stories every other day, these type of stories. What's going on? Where is the accountability, the responsibility? There's normal responsibility. I don't know. I'm sure all the facts are going to come out. Okay, it could have ended a lot. Baruch Hashem could have ended a lot worse. Baruch Hashem. But you know what's going on over here? This is very scary.
Sometimes I hire someone who needs a job as opposed to someone who meets their standards. That's right.
What?
Sometimes they hire someone who needs a job as opposed to making sure the person meets their standards.
They're desperate. You get who you can get.
Special in life.
You get who you can get. You can't, you know, whatever it is. It is what it is. Sometimes it's no one's fault. The accidents that happen that are you can have the best of the best of the best, and it's no one's fault. No, that happens many times, right? What can you possibly do?
New York City put in a policy that every bus driver at the end of the route must walk through the bus because...
Children fall asleep.
Because a lot of kids... They fall asleep.
Happens all the time, right? They fall asleep. Exactly.
If they miss it, they get fired.
Exactly. There's a whole protocol that's been put in because, unfortunately, there is, you know, there's a system that kind of... I don't know, when I was a kid, we always think that count numbers. Before we left the bus, everyone gets a number. And then you get on the bus, okay, they do the call. One, everyone has to
body
call out.
Swimming, it's body count.
Right, because these things happen all the time. Nice, so therefore there's a system put in place. What failed? Something over here failed. Okay, let's go back, enough of this, let's go to the Rashi, Pasuk, you have two people, Rashi, where is the Rashi? Gam, Pasuk Ches. There is no Rashi on Pasuk Ches. Okay, there is no Rashi at all. Let's go to the Radak, Pasuk Ches. On page 870, you have gone astray from the Koyanim Rishonim, Hichshaltem, Rabbi Matura. Hefich Rabim Heshiv Me'avon, the opposite of the Rabim. The Rabim you have turned back Me'avon, Bris Halevi, Bris Shachaisa Imon, Kemosha Amar. Okay, all this is pretty much what the Mitzvah David said, but pretty straightforward. Okay, let the pasuk test. The Gamani Nivzim Ushvalim L'chol Am. Therefore, Mido Kinegin Mido. I'm going to make it, and you're going to be despised. Kemosha Atem Mevazim Oisim Mido Kinegin Mido. You Kohanim. You have caused my name to be despised, therefore Mida Kenegan Mida, I will see to it that you are despised. Kei nosati eschem nivzim shoham shatem noisim lohem ponim, the people to whom you favor, loitirtzu lohichicham, you refuse to give them musr, kidei sheyohavu eschem, etein eschem veinechem, I'm going to make it that they're going to look down at you. Nivzim ushefolim, you do not want to do your job. It is the job of the Kohanim to give Musar to the people. You don't want to give them Musar because they sign your check. They sign your check. They give you bonuses. They give you gifts. And if you can open up your mouth and say to them that what you're doing is not right, this is not the proper derech, they're not going to give you a bonus. They're gonna cause you harm. So you don't want to do your job. So you know what? Guess what? Hashem says, I run the world. Even though the end's going to be, they're going to look down at you. You're flattering them in order to gain, you should be honored in their eyes. Just the opposite. The end's going to be, they're going to look down at you. They're going to despise you. They're not going to help you anyway. Like people say this in expression, so hade shakore aogoraiho zile. False witnesses, they go after their wages. Okay, I don't know this. There's something very deep in this expression. So hade shakore, false witnesses, aogoraiho zile. I think what it means is they end up testifying falsely. I don't know their way. The word "ogorayu" means they're having their wages. I don't know what this means. I have to go to Gemara.
They cheapen themselves.
They cheapen themselves. They go to the highest bidder. They have no backbone. They have no prestige. People who are just in it for the money. And they're not true to their positions. They are at the end of the day, they're just harming themselves. Pasuk A, page 881, the very, very top on the left side of the Radak. Kifi asher inchem shemu estar estirachai. Mida kenegen. You notice the entire section over here is all mida kenegen mida. Atem boizim oisi shenchem b'shem b'dirachai v'yanasati eschem v'nivzim shvalim v'noisim ponim b'torah. How does he touch his words? That atem noisim ponim lagidoylim b'dvar ha-torah. Sh'omra loy sakrivu eile lahashem. It says, do not offer animals that are blemishes. Uchashehe mevim karbon balmum. Tiru, you are afraid. Milahoychicham. Veloy mar lohem karbon ze pasahu. So here he's saying, he's not saying that you flatter them. The Radak is learning a little bit different than the Mitzvah. The Radak says that you make up new halachas for the rich. The people that you are afraid of, that you want to find favor in their eyes, they have a different shulchan aruch. When they come and they present an animal that has a blemish, so you say to them, it's kosher. The guy before who came 5 minutes ago to bring a karbon, you tell him, I'm sorry, your karbon is pasul. Because it has a blemish, you open up the shulchan aruch and you show them what it says in shulchan aruch, this animal is pasul. Next guy in line is super rich, mega millionaire, and he brings the carbon that's defective. You open up a different shulchan aruch. You have your own shulchan aruch. Someone said to me, you give shiurim, you preach, you tell everyone that says in the shulchan aruch, but when the shiur is over, you have for yourself your own shulchan aruch. Okay? Someone once said that to me. So here is exactly what's happening. You have one Shulchan Aruch for the poor and another Shulchan Aruch for the rich. There's a Shulchan Aruch Le'ani and a Shulchan Aruch Le'asher. You go into Eichlers. You know, they have different sets of Shulchan Aruch. There's a Shulchan Aruch Habohir, the Shulchan Aruch Tzura Sadaf. So you ask them in Eichlers, can I have the Shulchan Aruch Le'asher? There are different sets.
They'll charge a lot of money.
It's very short. That's a very small shulchan aruch. It just says one halacha. Everything goes. Everything goes.
Silver-bound leather covers.
Silver-bound, exactly. Shulchan aruch habohir. That's probably today one of the most popular sets of shulchan aruch today. It's a really type set. Whole new layout. Shulchan aruch habohir. That has captured the market today. And the second most popular is the Shulchan Aruch Tzura Sadaf, where everything is exactly the same, but it's retyped. So you have to ask them, I want the addition Shulchan Aruch Le'oshir. Different set of rules for the rich and famous. That's what the Radak says. You can't blame me for this. I didn't make this up. Let's see what it says in the Malbim. Malbim, go back to the previous page. Back on page 879. V'yaten, hayitzim lehepach b'shnei ele. You, the Kohanim, you are corrupt. Im b'mash nagia b'inu l'bin atzmai bin adam l'chaveroi or bin adam l'nei l'atzmai sa'atim v'naderech v'im b'mash, that you're phonies. You live a double life. When you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you do one thing. When you go personally, You're not observant in your personal life.
Hold on.
You present yourself one way in public and another way privately. To guide the people. Your decisions. So number one, personally, you're not observant in your personal life. Number two, when it comes to giving instructions to the tzibur, you are corrupt. You do not provide them with an authentic view of the Torah, understanding of the Torah. V'im kein shichatem bris ha-levi, you have corrupted the covenant of the Levi. Sha'al shnei advarim ele karati ito bris. Pasuk tes. V'gam ani lochei neged ma'ashoy ha-levi mechubi b'yein ha'am v'ahoye b'yineyem k'malach Hashem miroimam u'mikudosh. This, that you should really be distinguished. Nasati eschem nizim b'yein ha'am. V'gam atem shifalim b'emes l'chol ha'am. You have fallen. Kifi hashiur, corresponding to the level. What does that mean? Corresponding to the degree that you have fallen from where you should be holding in life. Cain, likewise, you, Mido, Kineged Mido, your stature, your standing in society will also descend. Cain, Yiraditem, Bimbamador, Bibizoyim, Uvishiflus. In the eyes of the Tzibur, you are lowlifes. That's what it says, a very frightening revelation. Let's now see the Mamori Chazal. The Mamori Chazal on page 878. Shichatem bris halevi. It says here that you corrupt Kohanim have destroyed the covenant of the Levi. Tanu rabbanan haKohanim vaHalavim vaHaniim haMesaimim beBeis Harayim uBeis Agronos uBeis Mekachayim ein Noislim lochem truma uMaisu bisChadon. This was a very big problem. The problem was that people Kohanim and Levim, their livelihood depended upon the goodwill of the people. They lived off the truma and the ma'aser. So what did they do? They would go to the silos, they would go to the granaries, they would go to the fields where the Yisraelim were harvesting and processing all of the grain, and they would say to the balabayas, "Oh, let me help you. Maybe your tractor needs an oil change. I'll take care of that for you. Oh, this plow has a flat tire. I'm good at fixing flat tires. I'll fix the flat tire. Oh, you know your barn, it needs a painting. I'll paint it for you." So then once he's already painting and fixing the flat tire, it now comes time for the balabais to give teruma. Ah, so you know what? Let me give to the painter. He's a Kohen. Let me give it to my mechanic. Let me give it to the one who did an oil change on my tractor. That's what was going on. That is corrupt. That is corrupt because it comes down now that basically the Yisraelim, they are manipulating the system in order that the Yisraelim should give it to them. And that is not correct. That's not the way the Torah's intent. The Torah's intent was that it should be a pure gift. The Torah's intent was that the Truma
were manipulating, not the Israelim.
Right, exactly. Exactly what I said. The Kohanim
and the Israelim.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Right. The Kohanim are coming to the granaries and they're coming to help out so that the Israelim should give it to them. So
the Kohanim, correct.
I made a mistake. The Kohanim are manipulating the system. No, one more time the words. HaKohanim v'Halevim v'Hohaniim. These are going to be the ultimate recipients of these gifts. But the Yisraelim can give the gift to anyone that he wants. He can give it to anyone he wants. HaMesayim, that are helping. They come to the fields. And they offer, they volunteer to offer services for the Yisraelim. The Beis Haroyim, by the location where the shepherds, because you have to give the Zeroya, the Lechayayim, the Akeva, the Reishas HaGeiz, all the various, there are 24 gifts that go to the Kohanim. Ubebeis HaGronois in the granaries, Ubebeis HaMetbachayim in the butcher shops, whether it's going to be the Reish Shageis, whether it's the wool, whether it's going to be even a Bechor, you give the firstborn animal, or it's going to be the Truma of the Meister, or it's going to be in the butcher shop where you get the Zeroya HaLechoyayim V'Akeva. They're on standby. You have a Kohen, Levi, or an Ani who is on standby waiting to get the gifts. Ein nois nemlochem truma umaiser bischoran. You may not give it to these people. These people, they're not, it's corrupt what they're doing. Vim oisim kein chilalo. They are profaning the institution. They are profaning the institution of these gifts. The aleim akos of Omer shichatem bris halevi. You have corrupted. The system is corrupt. You're taking advantage. You're taking advantage. You're trying to. The gift is supposed to be given purely as a matana, as a pure gift. Without, it's a gift. It's not a service. By these people offering their services, in essence, they're buying. They're purchasing through their services the gift. That's not a gift.
What happened if they were getting paid? What would that be the same thing?
What are you getting paid?
They're getting paid to do the work.
I know that. Of course, that's mutter. They're getting paid for their service. If they're getting paid for their work, for painting your house, you're paying me. That's it. You're being paid.
You're allowed to give them it.
So no, then you are allowed to give them because technically you're allowed to give them because I am providing you a service. You're paying for the service. You also want to give me the truma. Very nice. But when you're not being paid, it's very obvious that the truma is the payment. That's the payment. Now this is a very complicated halacha because there's another halacha, and this really is a monkey wrench in this whole halacha, that a Kohen is permitted to take money from a Yisrael in order to direct where he will give his Truma and Maaser. You have a Kohen, he has $1,000 worth of Truma and Maaser. A Yisrael says, listen, I have a grandson who's a Kohen. Okay? I have a grandson because my daughter married a Kohen and they have children and the children are Kohanim. So let me give you have $1,000 worth of Truma to give to a Kohen. Why just give it to anyone? Here, I'm going to give you a kickback. I'm going to give you, let's say, $300. And now, I want you to direct give the truma to my grandson, who is a Kohen. That is permitted. That is permitted. So doesn't that seem corrupt?
Yes.
What's the difference between this halacha of a Yisrael being permitted to take money from another Yisrael to direct where the truma will go to a Kohen himself coming to your farm, to your granary, and saying, listen, I'll do for you an oil change, and I'll be on standby here. The oil change will take a whole day until you're finished getting ready. And then, oh, I'm a Kohen. Look at that. I'm right here. I'm ready to take it. What's going on? What's the difference? So the difference is I don't have, there is no really, it's very hard to give a clear answer.
The both.
Both, they're both partners, and it's corruption.
What is it, like truma laundering?
Yeah. So the answer, I don't have an answer. I don't.
Big difference. The one place the initiative comes from the Kohen.
Right. That's a difference. Right. So that's but that it, that's not. It's an answer, but it's not. I mean, it needs more explanation than just that, because the obvious difference is it's indirect. It's if the Kohen himself is bribing the Yisrael. That's outright corruption. But if it's coming from a third party, I mean, today in America, you go to jail for this. You know, if you would show there's a relationship with this type of thing, well, it depends on whose side of the government you're on, you go to jail or not. But generally, this answer today, I do not believe in a secular court of law that has integrity, not what's going on in this world today, but in a court of law that has integrity, it would not hold up. I don't believe in the standards of today, you know, insider trading and this and this.
Call it a
you know, what's the difference? What's the, look at insider trade. if you work for the company and you buy the stock, you go to jail, right? If you know that the company is going to do something, and you go buy, you sell the stock, that you go to jail. But if someone else, who just somehow figures out what's going on from the outside, no, that's perfectly fine. What's the chiluk? Let's say someone who works in the company, they have on his phone. I know someone told me about a certain person. I don't know who they're. He says this person is sitting in jail. Maybe he's still sitting in jail. Insider trading. Why? Because he bought the stock.
Took advantage of.
He had a friend, and they found on his on the caller ID that he made a phone call to this person. He made a phone call. So the person who worked for the company called up someone else, and that other person did something.
Do the transaction.
And they were able to trace it through the telephone, through the phone calls. So they're all sitting in jail. So is that the same thing over here? Is that over here you have a Yisrael. You have two, Yisrael has $1,000 worth of truma. Another Yisrael comes to him and says, here's $300. Give you $1,000 of truma to my grandson, who's a Kohen. Because my daughter is a Yisraelis, and she married a Kohen, and now they have children, and the children are Kohanim. So what's the difference? What's the difference between the Kohen himself coming and providing a service of an oil change, which is, let's say, a $300 service? I'll change the oil in all of your tractors. $300 service. If the Kohen, the Yisrael, will give truma to the person who did the service, who is a Kohen, that is shichatem Bris HaLevi, Kohen HaMisayeya B'Beis HaGronis. But if instead of the Kohen coming and providing a service, if a Yisrael comes and puts that on the table, $300 cash, or a Yisrael comes and says, listen, I'll change the oil in all of your tractors on the condition that you give your truma, which is a $300 free service, on the condition that you give you $1,000 of truma to my grandson, the Kohen. Nothing wrong with that. That is permitted. L'chatchila. Even l'chatchila
it's
motor.
It's very similar.
It's very similar, right? So what's the difference? Sounds the same, right? Today?
I don't think it's similar at all, because the person receiving the benefit did not do anything.
The person
receiving the benefit did not do anything. He's just sitting there in his home, right?
The person who gave the benefit.
Receiving the benefit. The person who's getting the truma.
Right. The person did not do anything. Okay, that's a very good answer. What you're saying is technically correct. But today, I believe, in American society, okay, we're all influenced by the goyim. I don't think they would accept that. I don't think the goyim...
I don't think we have any lawyers around this, but there's such a thing as a sham transaction.
Right. Okay, it's just a loophole. It's just a loophole. There is, if the essence of truma is no influence. The Torah said to the Yisrael, you have $1,000 worth of truma. You have to give it to a kohen. You cannot keep it. You must give it away. But you have the right. It's your decision to decide who you want to give it to. If someone does bribes you and gives you and does a service for you, and then you give him in exchange for the service, that's shichatem bris halevi. But if someone puts on the table $300 and says, this is who you should give it to, and you give it to that other person, that is permitted. I hear what you said. Mr. Elman is saying the bottom line is the recipient, the one, the grandson, that is getting the truma, he's not corrupt because he did absolutely nothing. He got a pure gift. But don't we assume that part of the bris halevi is also mitzad the noisin, that the noisin should give it without any influence, should give it with purity. He should decide who he wants to give without any of that. Where do you draw the line? I don't know. I'm just pointing out this is an old question. This is not a new question. This is an old question to try to deeply understand the difference between what's called Toivas Hana, that a Kohen, a Yisrael, is permitted lichatchila to take money from a Yisrael in order to direct to where, to whom he will give it to, versus this other halacha, that if the Kohen himself, who was the recipient of this gift, if he is the one that is exerting influence over the Noisein, that is Osur. Osur to such a degree where the Torah says, Shechatem, this is outright corruption. Where do you draw the line? Is it a, it's a very painful analysis to really deeply understand the difference between these two. Let's go further. I mean, why do I have two psukim? Maybe you'll say that it's not so corrupt. It's corruption. No? There's corruption. So you go to get a fine. You go to jail. But there's no death penalty. No, this is, the corruption is so deep that there's nisim v'deshamayim. He doesn't say there's a death penalty, but there's nisim v'deshamayim tashma, v'yaskot shem yishol lo yisachalu v'lo yisumusu. Pasuk test, next chazal, v'gam ki, v'gam ani nasati yaskan nivzim shvalim, amar Yehuda, mashmo'us ha-pasuk hu hi l'bracha. Doloi mogmi minon, this over here is, they will not establish shu'umos lo yimanu mi'yishol lo yresh naharei, tax collectors, v'lo yigazi, Repate Shaitrim. There's a silver lining in this curse. This is a curse. The curse is that Klali, so first of all, Yachtas and the Gemara is taking this to understand the Goyim. Everything that we learned until now about this pasuk is describing Jew versus Jew. The Kohanim are teachers amongst the Jewish people. And these Kohanim that we are discussing are corrupt. They're flattering their fellow men. They're not giving them mussar. They're telling them, oh yeah, the animal is a balmum, kosher. It's kosher. In Moish, the Shulchan Aruch, le'oshir, it says it's kosher. So Hashem says, why did you do that? It's because you want to find favor in their eyes. You want to associate with the rich and famous. Guess what? The end is going to be, they're going to come to bite you. They're going to come to despise you. It's going to backfire on you. And instead of finding favor in their eyes, the day will come when they'll look down at you. They will despise you. So everything over here is Jew, 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 Jew. One Jew favoring another Jew, and the end is the other Jew is going to despise you. Along comes the Gemara and says, no. We're not talking about Jews. The Jews are you're corrupt amongst yourself. The end is going to be the Goyim are going to despise you. The Gentiles are going to despise you. They're going to look down at you. They're going to say all these nasty things. Unfortunately, there are encyclopedias that can fill up all how unfortunately this has been fulfilled against the Jewish people. But along comes Chazal, and they say there's a silver lining in this. It's because since they despise us so much, we are separate. That forces us to reflect and acknowledge that we are the Am HaNivchar, and we have nothing to do with these people, and this is what guarantees Jewish continuity. Because if the Goyim would indeed like us, they would appreciate us, they would want to marry our children. And then we would give in to the pressure, and there would be assimilation. And then, before you turn around, there wouldn't be a Klal Yisrael. There wouldn't be Jews left in this world. So this, that the Goyim, they despise us, it's a hard pill to swallow, is a silver lining, there's a blessing, which at least in the big picture of things, guarantees the continuity of Klal Yisrael. That's what it says. V'gam ani nasati atem b'riz v'shom. Amar Yehuda, the mashmoyis ha-pasachim lebrocha. Even though there is, it's an obvious curse, but there's a hidden blessing inside. D'loy mokmei minon, the goyim, they stay far away from the Jews. They'll never put them in a position of leadership to collect taxes. These were supposed to be very chashuv positions in ancient times, rich people. V'lo reshe naharei, v'lo gazi gazipani. They force us to remain completely separate. Okay, that concludes the section. So Mishnah tomorrow we're going to go. Tomorrow we're going to go further in pasuk yud. Okay, new section tomorrow. Take a very short break. I want to talk about after. I want to talk about the chasaba, the kohen gadol, the melech. The Melech has to write a Sefer Torah, and he has to carry it with him wherever he goes. We'll discuss the laws of giving kavod to a Sefer Torah, and the laws of giving kavod to ordinary Sefarim. How could the Koye, the Melech, carry with him wherever he goes? That automatically demands a certain kavod. When a Sefer Torah is going in the street, you have to stand up. We'll talk about that in a few moments.
You said previously that was a problem here around. Sure, in the area.
grew up in this area. I moved in.
Let
me just tell you something. There was one street.
When you can't run a marathon anymore,
The Sefer Hinuch says that according to the Rambam,
he's a very good
person to be over that executive commandment.
He has to have the plowing tool
in his hand and walking with the animal. You're not allowed to make the animal work at Shabbat, right? So you have to have
the plowing itself is prohibited.
But if you're holding the plowing instrument, it's over. So he says, according to the Rambam, what if you're not holding the instrument? You're just walking behind the animal. The animal knows that he's supposed to work. And you're just letting the animal work, but you're not holding anything.
So that's not according to the normal way of doing that halacha.
So according to the Rambam, is this person chayav mitah or not?
I wouldn't think so, because that's not the normal way of doing the halacha. In other words, for someone to be chayav mitah for doing the halacha on Shabbos, he has to do the malacha the way the malacha is described.
All right, but we're talking about the particular mitzvah.
It wouldn't be a misa daraisa.
No, but the Torah says you should work, not you, not your wife, not your daughter, not your son.
But for that,
you're walking the animal. The animal's working. The animal's working because you're behind the animal. The animal understands spider language.
That's the same question.
So you're making the animal work, even if you're not holding the instrument, you're making the animal work on Shabbat. So is that considered that you are over the mitzvah of that of the animal not working for you?
Another aspect is intent. The person who's doing the work has to have intent that he is doing work on Shabbos. If he's not, if he has no intent, he can't be held
responsible. But if the work is not done in that manner, that's another question that has to be entertained, that you are only over the horizon if that is the way the normal way for that
malacha
to be done.
Okay, if you have no intent, you can't be held responsible.
But he's directing one way or another the animal.
He's letting the animal go on its own.
Well, that can't be.
he's supposed to sell them. He's supposed to sell the animals. He says the animals are supposed to do work on Shabbat. So you're supposed to sell the animals to do your work. Just like if you have a sheep, you see them doing work, you're supposed to sell them.
Yeah, but if the animal grazes on its own, by pulling out grass.
Well, the animals are by itself, they don't have anything.
But you don't have to stop the animal.
But if the animal's plowing by Shabbat, then you should stop the animal.
Oh, if it's plowing, then he's doing it for you.
Now the Ramban disagrees with the Ramban. He says even if he's not holding the instrument, the plowing instrument, already over the mitzvah of the
that's the case, then how can you allow your animals to graze on Shabbos?
It's not great grazing this for himself.
He needed to make a living because I said, yeah, but I'm suffering. I'm suffering because it's not really that. We used to have a standardized exam. You have your own class in the room, very easy day. But the problem, we had to take both classes because his class was wrong, into the cafeteria, in addition to having Mr. Frankel down there that was like 10 times harder.
He died very young, Mr. Frankel.
Yeah, he had an artifact like that, very young.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Rabbi.
Okay, we have to learn. We got to learn over here. Let's go.
I have a question. Should I wait
until
the end?
At the end, okay?
Okay,
yeah. Okay, let's begin. Let's, for this week's parasha, we learn about a king, a melech, the laws of melech. Now, let's just review some, just an observation, an observation of what the Torah says.